My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's Recovering Gleek : Ugly podcast. Welcome to a rerun of an old minisode because we're super busy this week. I'm moving across the country and we are postponing minisode. What number is this? I didn't do any research. 54? 55. We're postponing minisode 55 until next week. So enjoy a lovely rerun of an oldie, but I hope a goodie. Full disclosure, I did not fully re-listen to this minisode because I'm trying to pack up my life right now. I remember it being good, so hopefully it is. All right. Love you all. Have a wonderful week. See you on the flippity flip. This is our minisode about season 3, episode 1, The Purple Piano Project. So just take your minds back to like mid-July, I think. We're in it. You know, Sugar Maud has just been introduced. Skank Quinn has just entered the scene. We've met Harmony for the first time. Take your minds back to then and wrap your mittens around your kittens, and away we go.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
But all these lines and grays refine, they are the maps of our design of what began on Monday minisode.
Yay.
Monday minisode.
That song, Monday Morning by Death Cab for Cutie.
Monday minisode by Death Cab for Cutie.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite bands ever, and I've seen them in concert once before. My hometown does this thing called the Twilight Concert Series, where mm-hmm. they bring in bands and then they charge like $5 tickets for like, I've seen a bunch of bands there. It's the coolest thing ever.
I'm just now realizing that you meant Twilight, as in like the concerts take place at Twilight.
Yeah, it's like nighttime.
It was like bands that were featured on the soundtrack of the Twilight movies. Just a lot of Muse.
I've seen Muse so many times you don't even know. But I remember I went to that concert and Death Cab for Cutie is like kind of a chiller band. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it's a $5 concert, so like, you know, every teenager in town needs something to do that night. So they just kind of go. And it was, I remember being so, I think I was like 17 at the time. I was so annoyed. I was like, why is everyone chatting? We should be listening. And I was like very emotional.
Did the disrespect.
I know.
These teens don't give me no respect.
They don't.
No respect at all.
What's that from?
It's Rodney Dangerfield, but I'm specifically referencing Parks and Recreation.
Oh, got it.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, welcome to your minisode.
Hippie Monday.
Happy Monday.
I'm Ian Allred. I am, in fact, a mini gleek. You heard it here first.
Geez Louise, as am I, but my name is Lena Knatzer.
That's the one difference. Carbon copies of each other.
Truly.
Look exactly alike.
We do.
Same DNA.
We do. But we
got
that.
Those different names.
Yeah. Interesting.
Just can't keep it straight.
I know. I can't even keep us straight sometimes. Sometimes I'll see a photo of you and I'm like, when did I take this? You know?
Yeah. Sometimes you walk into my apartment and I'm like, am I having an out-of-body experience?
Yeah,
why can't I see myself
like, whoa,
right
whoa,
now?
Whoa, whoa,
what's going on?
Totally. Yeah.
Very confusing. I don't like it.
I don't like it either. I think we should stop spending so much time together.
I think you heard it here first. This is our last minisode, our last episode. After we record this, we are moving to other sides of the planet and we are breaking all contact.
Yep.
Because we cannot deal with the uncanny valley of being around each other. It is frightening. It makes us uncomfortable.
It's far too much. How you doing, Ian?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm exhausted.
Yes, it's only been a week.
Yeah.
We had our first full week of shows. A lovely 8-show week. And let me tell you, Saturday night, I could feel that it was the 8th show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Like, I was doing my my Saturday night performance, and I was just like, and I was sitting down at my station in my dressing room, and I was like, I have to stand up or I'm going to fall asleep. I was like, this is not appropriate.
Literally.
Don't tell my boss I said that.
We're both very professional actors. We were very in it on stage. Don't worry, everyone. But we do the finale of Ragtime, and it's like all emotional, and like everyone in the audience is crying, blackout. I walk off into the wings to get ready for curtain call. I literally walk off into the wings, turn to the person next to me and say, I'm about to fall asleep standing up. And then just run back on stage.
Smiling.
And
yeah. That's so funny.
So tired.
That is so funny. Man.
All right.
Big week. This week was also, it didn't even occur to me until it happened.
Mm-hmm.
This week was the anniversary of Naya Rivera's passing.
Yeah.
And it was such the weirdest feeling I've ever felt ever, because I couldn't believe it had already been a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I felt somehow unprepared for the emotions that I felt that day. I don't know. It was rough.
Yeah. And it was like you said, it also like really snuck up on us, mm-hmm. because we have been opening shows and had like our first full week and have been like worried about our understudy tracks. And then we got on Twitter and saw all the tribute posts, and it's just very sad.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. Like, I think this is a,
yeah, it's
a, yeah.
It's weird when a celebrity dies, because it like, they are so important to you. Yeah. And especially someone like Naya Rivera.
Absolutely.
Who, like, Santana is such a beloved character and like such an important character for so many people. And also like, one of the absolute best characters on the entire show. Mm-hmm. And then like Naya Rivera was such an inspiration in how really she made Santana.
Yeah.
Like Santana was just a cheerleader who had one line in the pilot that ended up getting cut. Mm-hmm. And Naya Rivera like built that character into what it is.
Yeah.
And so it's so weird to like feel that loss.
As someone who never met her.
Yeah, for absolutely. Someone that you have never met. But yet it is like totally valid to feel that loss.
Absolutely. Like I remember in the weeks after she had passed, because like at first it was like the shock and like the mm-hmm. sadness. And as we learned what happened, I was like, why am I feeling so sad about this person I've never met? And I think that shouldn't be a shameful thing that people mm-hmm. feel. Like, I hope that people don't feel weird about that, you know, because you're right. She was so beloved and she was such an amazing person and like, you know, a hardworking, incredible, amazing person and mother and actress and amazing. I can't say enough about her, but yeah. Our thoughts, and our love is all with her family right now and all of that. But I just wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, have a little moment of respect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
With that, do you want to start this minisode?
Minisode 30.
Let's celebrate some glee.
Can you believe that we've been doing the minisodes for 3 decades? 30
yes,
already.
It feels like it.
When we started in 1991, I said, this will last a week tops.
And here we are 30 years later.
Here we are 30 years later, still doing the minisodes. Good for us.
I know, good for us.
Congratulations.
I'm surprised our Uncanny Valley hasn't gotten to us sooner.
Honestly, it took 30 years, and I woke up this morning and I said, enough's enough.
No more.
I looked in the mirror and I said, why is Lena in my bathroom? And I said, wait, that's my face. I can't do it anymore.
I feel the same. That's why I don't leave my bed most of the time, because I swear if I catch a reflection, I'll punch it. I've broken every mirror in my home. All right.
Okay.
Let's start this minisode, shall we?
Let's do it. We shall.
Okay. Up first, we have a message from some weirdo I've never heard of in my life. Let's play the thing.
Oh my gosh, I'm having so many technical difficulties with this. This is Alex, your brother, and I wanted to give myself a shout out for getting the Quinn plot so spot on because you guys didn't even acknowledge it. The only thing I didn't get right with her is that her frigging hair was pink instead of blue. Also, I want to acknowledge that I guessed that before your episodes aired that talked about her becoming the Joker and her getting super weird and somebody I think even mentioned her hair. I didn't hear any of that. I didn't know any of that. And I still guessed it exactly. So that means next episode should be David Bowie themed. And that is the most exciting thing in the world. It's called I Am the Unicorn because David Bowie obviously is a unicorn. I think it should be called Gliggy Glee Dust or something. I think that would be better. But that's, you know, they didn't take all of my advice, just the hair color and the David Bowie episode, and hopefully Miss Anopal coming soon. Okay, 4, 5, 4, 3, 2, too fast there, Alex. 1.
Okay.
Alex called me later on the day that he left that message, like just to like check in.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that he had left a message, and I was like, I know I listened to it.
Yeah, I got the notification. I opened it immediately.
Your energy in that message is indescribable.
I know.
Like, whoa.
Literally. Also, Alex, you have said true things in the past. Like, you have said things that have come to pass in the past. You didn't see it, but underneath the table that Ian and I were sitting at, we were fully, like, punching each other in the legs, like freaking out that you got that right. Like, you have no... Of course, we weren't going to confirm it.
We did. So Alex was on our season 2 wrap up and he predicted, for anyone who didn't listen, he predicted like Quinn dyeing her hair and being rebellious and all that stuff. We did it over a Zoom call because Alex is in New York and we're in Utah. And I recorded the Zoom call and I wonder if you can see on our faces when he says that. I'll go look and maybe I'll just like isolate a snapshot and put it on the Instagram.
Because I swear our eyes probably like ghosts probably came out of our souls.
Because I remember having a reaction and then immediately being like, you cannot have a reaction to this. I'm like trying to shut it down. Ugh.
Well, I'm super excited for Gliggy Glee Dust next week.
Tune in 2 days on Wednesday. We're going to be talking about Gliggy Glee Dust. I love that it's not Ziggy Glee Dust.
Yeah.
Full Gliggy.
Yeah.
Gliggy Glee Glust, actually.
Glust.
Mm-hmm.
I
love that glust.
Do you think when Alex said, it's your brother, he knew which one of us he was talking about? I don't think he can tell us apart. He can tell us apart either.
Everyone. Everyone. He called me the other day and he was like, how's it going as Edith in Pirates of Penzance? And I was like, that's Lena.
Yeah. And it's like, how did you mix up our names on your phone?
Like, come on.
Okay. I'm too afraid to ask. Maybe it's too late. What the fuck is Uncanny Valley?
Oh, okay. So it's too late. Moving on. So the Uncanny Valley is like...
I've heard people reference it like constantly. I think I've like caught on in a weird...
So essentially like imagine a slope.
Mm-hmm.
And on one end, on like one high end of the slope is like... a human person, like a human person. It's easy to talk about it in humans. And then on the other high end of the slope is like a very cartoonish rendering of that human.
Okay.
The idea is the more realistic a rendering of a person gets, the more unsettling it is unless it's exact.
Oh.
So like if you've ever seen a painting of a person that was like photorealistic, but it was just slightly off.
Yeah.
It's Uncanny Valley.
It like hurts your head. Yeah.
It's like it's at the bottom of the slope where it's it is not a cartoon. It is more realistic than a cartoon, but it is not exactly realistic.
That makes so much sense in our lives.
Exactly. Because we both don't quite look human.
Yeah.
We're just off
Definitely
enough.
Definitely some Uncanny Valley shit going on.
But people are like, are you androids? What's going on?
And, yeah, like, and it's just like,
our
I really
skincare
can,
routine.
And, right. But I also cannot confirm that I'm like that. And like in Loki.
Nor deny.
When he's
I
like,
was
I
not
don't.
There when I was born.
He's like, I don't think I'm an automaton, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Shoot, you know. Alex, thanks so much for your message. Good to meet you.
Can't wait for Miss Anopal.
Yeah, that's true.
Counting down the days.
Up next, we have an email from Raven.
Hey, Lena and Ian, it's Raven, she, they, and I'm emailing you guys to talk about something that isn't Faberry for once. Warning, this email will probably be a little long. I'm currently listening to your episode on the Purple Piano Project, and as you discussed, Sugar Mata is absolutely not autistic. As an autistic person, I am deeply conflicted about Sugar as a character. I absolutely love her, but the fact that she is introduced as a joke about self-diagnosing makes me uncomfortable, especially as someone who only recently was able to get professionally diagnosed, but had self-diagnosed and felt as if my experiences as an autistic person weren't valid because I hadn't been able to get professionally diagnosed yet. While Sugar is not autistic, there are two characters that I think are, and those characters are Brittany and Rachel. I should say, I obviously am not the ultimate authority on autism. I am just an autistic person who enjoys having headcanons. I'm going to start with explaining Brittany. First of all, she is someone who often takes things very literally and has trouble understanding when people are joking. The moment I always think of for this comes from the next episode, Gliggy Gleeg Lust, everyone.
Yes.
Where Kurt makes a joke about a neon sign above his head. She responds with, "You'd probably need a really long extension cord." He says it was a joke, and she essentially tells him that he needs to indicate jokes to her when he tells them. While she is a very social person, she has troubles with actually understanding social situations. A lot of her interactions come off as her just attempting what she believes she's supposed to be doing in that situation, like when she comforts Santana in silly love songs and says something like, "Try rocking back and forth, they do that in movies." She also has a hard time understanding when something she says can be taken as her being rude. On a broader scale, she just kind of thinks and approaches the world in a different way than other people and is judged for it, with people thinking she's stupid. There are probably other autistic traits that Brittany shows, but I cannot think of them right now. Now, on to Rachel Berry. To be fair, this could be me projecting onto Rachel, as she's the character I relate to most, but I feel so incredibly strongly that Rachel is autistic. First of all, Rachel is an incredibly routine-oriented person and becomes extremely upset when that routine is disrupted. She also is someone who so thoroughly plans things out and becomes panicked when those plans are threatened. A lot of her lines that come off as rude or self-centered feel like she doesn't realize that this is how they're coming off and just thinks she's being factual. She also has a very hard time realizing that people think in a way that is different from her. Her amount of focus on musical theater and the way that she has a hard time thinking and talking about anything else makes me believe that it is her special interest. Also, she talks in an unnecessarily formal manner, especially in season one. As I said with Brittany, there are probably other traits she displays that I can't think of currently. Anyway, just thought I would share those headcanons with you because the topic of autistic characters was brought up, and I've been looking for an excuse to bring them up since I started listening to the podcast months ago. Also, I couldn't send an email without mentioning how Skank Quinn changed my life. Yes, I was 8 when I first saw this episode and didn't know I was a lesbian yet, but seeing her walk down that hallway with the pink hair while smoking a cigarette made me who I am today. Love you guys, Raven. Raven, thank you so much for this email.
Yeah.
I love these headcanons.
Absolutely.
I think they're both like very cool and interesting takes.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it is a huge shame that a lot of times in TV, you have to make up headcanons for representation
absolutely.
And to see yourself in the show because there are not characters who are explicitly, like, who are explicitly whatever it be, whether it be, like, LGBTQ or autistic or anything else that you're, like, looking for yourself in the TV show. And yeah, it is, as I said, I love Sugar Mata. I think she's hilarious. It is a huge shame that...
Definitely.
She is like the most that autism is touched on in the show mm-hmm. is a girl who self-diagnosed herself as autistic so that she could say whatever she wanted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
for sure. Raven, thank you so much for this message. Up next, we have a voicemail from Naomi.
Hi, it's Naomi. She, they pronouns. I am one of the autistic listeners that had concerns about Sugar and her portrayal. You said almost everything that I was thinking, but I also think that before you can make a satirical thing about something with a marginalized group, you have to give actual representation, and they didn't do that. Like, it would have been a whole different thing if Glee had a character that was canonically autistic. And we just have almost no representation even now, especially in the early 2010s, people didn't really know what autism was and if we have this portrayal. It just feels like the writers wanted to make like a joke that was like, yeah, there's this new thing called Asperger's that rich people use to be mean, as an excuse to be mean to other people, and it's a trend diagnosis, and that's just incredibly harmful. So yeah, before you can do anything satirical about a marginalized group, you just have to give actual representation.
Naomi, I absolutely agree with this. I think that Glee is such a weird show too, because I feel like they do this with so many things. Mm-hmm. And especially like, I don't even know, you know, but I completely agree, Naomi.
Yeah. Well, like you said, Glee does this all the time. They make fun of marginalized groups all the time, and they try, a lot of the times they try and be like, we have representation. Like, yeah, for example, totally. Like Tina and Mike are both Asian characters who are on this show. And so they're like, so we can get away with like making fun of Asian stereotypes because like we have these two Asian characters, but they are like always ignored and they're not really given much personality outside of Asian stereotypes. So like you said, Naomi, like that's not real representation.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not like three-dimensional characters. And so it's just uncomfortable and weird. And I totally agree. They don't have any characters who are like three-dimensional characters who are autistic on the show. And yet they do this whole joke with Sugar and it does not come off great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Oof. Thank you, Naomi,
yeah,
for sending it in those
definitely
thoughts.
Super appreciate it. Up next, we have a voicemail from Natalia.
Hello, my name is Natalia, she, her. And I would like to let you know that until like my junior year of high school, I thought Niata was a real place. When I was in freshman year, somebody jokingly, like one of the cool seniors, tweeted, oh, just got done with my Niata audition, off to NYU, blah, blah, blah. And I took it at face value. I didn't realize that they were shitting me. So I just, that just confirmed in my head that there was a school out there. Maybe not necessarily taught by Whoopi Goldberg, but there was a school in New York called Niata. And I was Boo Boo the Fool when I realized that wasn't the case. So for all the people that once thought Niata was real, I see you. I hear you. I support you. Thank you, Lena. Thank you, Ian. Goodbye.
I would just like to personally thank whoever that senior was.
I know, that's funny as hell.
That is a solid joke. That is so funny.
I also, Natalia, I have to say, I have to compliment you. I don't think I've ever, like, I've heard people say, are you shitting me? But I've never heard someone say, like, I didn't know they were shitting me before. And that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. I'm putting that in my vernacular right now. It's so funny. No, totally. It took me many years to realize that Niata was a real place. And truly, I don't even think I had an aha moment. I think it's just like, I kind of like grew out of it a little.
No, this...
We got a lot of messages about that as
Natalia,
well. Nobody
you're not
is alone.
Someone messaged us and was like, I thought it was real until I listened to your episode of the Project.
So funny.
This came out when I was a junior in high school, so I was actively applying to colleges. Mm-hmm. So I think like when the episode aired, I looked it
you
up.
Probably
so I was
Googled
like, should
it.
I apply? And was like, oh, it's fake. But so many people that are just like 1 or 2 years younger than me, I know, thought it was real for years.
Yeah, totally.
Have you seen that TikTok of the girl? And it is like, she does the whole thing completely straight. where she's like,
yes, this where she, is she's like a day in her life, life yeah.
as a freshman musical theater major at New York Academy for the Dramatic Arts.
It's yes, it's so funny. It's so funny. It pisses me off. Like something about it fills me with rage. It's like, I wish it was real. I totally would have gone to NIADA. Just kidding. I totally would not have.
I couldn't afford that. I went to college based on affordability.
I did too. I sure did. Yeah.
Who's giving me the biggest scholarship? I'm there.
Honestly. Also, do you know what else people message us a lot about this week?
What?
My JonBenet Ramsey, John Wayne Gacy mix up. Listen, you guys, do you not? Those names are more similar than I'd like to admit.
John, don't, three names.
Don't get mad at me.
Also, Gacy and Ramsey rhyme.
Literally.
But the thing is,
I know the difference between them.
You said it. You were like, my parents wouldn't let me do beauty pageants because they thought I was going to get snatched by like John Wayne Gacy. Yeah. And I was like, well, John Wayne Gacy killed kids. He probably kidnapped a few of them. Like literally that was my thought process.
Yeah. Oh, so you didn't even like.
I literally, my mind's image was a clown.
You were the clown. Yeah, you were thinking the clown.
And I was like, yeah, because your parents were, although like, no. To my understanding, they weren't like 5-year-olds, but totally. I was still like.
But you know the JonBenet Ramsey thing, right?
I absolutely do.
I thought so.
And we can all agree that it was an accident and a cover up. Yes. Yes. Anyways, moving on.
But I had literally to acknowledge that, you guys. I do know, but so many people are like, you are so dumb, and I'm just like, it's three names with John.
Literally someone that we work with, he sent me a TikTok last week. It's the TikTok of like, so the TikTok is of people crying. It's like my family crying at my funeral. Mm-hmm. And then it shifts to like the pearly gates and it's me in heaven. And
she goes, yes.
Girl. And then JonBenet Ramsey turns around. And she goes, start from the top. What happened? And I messaged back and I was like, I literally was just at lunch with my parents explaining to them how it was an accident that they tried to cover up. And he was like, I know, it's the only explanation.
But we're going to the pearly gates. We're going to find out.
We're
going to
find out.
Heaven knows we'll probably die the same way.
I mean, everything else about us is the same. If we don't die the same way, I'll feel cheated.
I know. Who would outlive the other?
I don't want a canny valley death. I want an uncanny valley death.
I hope we're both walking arm in arm, skipping down the road, and then struck by lightning.
I hope we're walking arm in arm in. Us two
and Armin Shimmerman,
who played the principal on Buffy the Vampire
but
Slayer.
Also, who worked with us last season at the Utah Shakespeare
was our coworker for 3 months, and we were too scared to talk to him until literally the closing night party. We're walking Armin, struck by lightning. Armin survives. Don't worry.
Of course.
He goes on to be in the Buffy revival. We both die. Straight to heaven. Yeah. We track down.
JonBenet Ramsey.
JonBenet Gacy. What happened? John Wayne Ramsey.
Anyway, Natalia, thanks to Heap.
Oh my gosh, Natalia, I'm so sorry. That went off a cliff so bad.
Oh my god. Up next, we have an email from Emily.
Okay. Hi, Lena and Ian. This is Emily number 3 from like 1,000 minisodes ago. This episode, you were discussing Will and the flash mob idea, and I had to write in about a story I had from my school. So in my junior year, 2017, my school did Les Mis for a musical. My director had the grand idea to do a flash mob right after a full school assembly where we like got up from our seats one at a time, singing One Day More and make our way to the stage in a convoluted way to try to get kids to see the play. Anyways, embarrassing enough as that is, especially for 2017, the worst part is what the assembly was about. It was a super serious drug and alcohol assembly with guest speakers who had lost children to drunk driving and a person who was paralyzed forever because of drunk driving. After this super serious and emotional assembly, we had to get up and sing in front of our entire school. It felt so wrong and was totally embarrassing. The audience was just very confused. Thankfully, I was just in the ensemble, so I could kind of hide in the crowd. But to all of us kids, it felt like it was super tone deaf, while our director could not see any fault in it. Emily, is your director perchance one William Schuster?
Uncanny Valley.
Uncanny Valley, your director, William Schuster. I still feel embarrassed about it. I remember I ran out of school that day to the bus, so I didn't have to talk to anyone. Plus, on top of that, our school always had a planned assembly for the musical where we did like one or two numbers to promote the show. Still embarrassing since most high school kids did not want to be there and were basically captive audience, but at least they were prepared for it and they weren't just thrown into it. So there was basically no reason for us to hijack this super serious assembly since the school already gave us a way to promote the show with at least a semi-consenting slash prepared audience. Anyways. Sorry for the weird personal story. Good luck with all your shows. Emily number three. Emily, when I first read this email, I laughed so hard. There are moments in life, and this is just how my brain works, that are so incredibly humiliating mm-hmm. and so like, I can't believe this is happening right now, where while I'm experiencing it, my thought process is, but man, if this was on a TV show, this is comedy gold.
I do the same thing.
And sometimes during an embarrassing moment, I like hate it so much, but my mind is like, but at least I have this story for later because dang, this will be fun to bring up at
parties.
This
is the most uncanny valley thing you've ever said to me in my life. Valley. I was just telling someone yesterday, I was like, I would really like to get my heart broken bad just because I need a good story.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want that, but I need that. And if it was a TV show, I'd be bored. When you said that, I oddly got emotional because I felt like I was alone.
Felt like you were alone. Wait, what?
And like, and feeling that, like,
feeling that way?
Yeah.
Uncanny Valley, I got your back. Don't
literally,
worry.
Literally
yesterday at ragtime, I had an monumental blunder on stage. Bad that the stage manager brought it up to me after the show. We have a good relationship. She brought it up as a joke.
Oh, sure, sure.
But as I was on stage, having my life flash before my eyes as I screwed up this scene, I literally was like, but man, this is going to be so fun to tell people about. Here's the deal.
Well, tell us now.
It is, I don't know, it might not actually be as exciting as I think it is. Okay, so in Ragtime, one of the characters is Harry Houdini because it like it's a historical fiction. And the guy who's playing Harry Houdini in our production is a professional magician.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like a lot of legitimate magic acts in the show.
Yes.
Did I say magician or musician?
Magician.
Okay, good. Those two words, uncanny valley, they're the same thing. So he does a very famous magic trick where like, you know what? I'm not going to talk about the magic trick because I'm not a magician and I feel like it's not my place to
totally.
Like ruin it.
You don't want to ruin the magic trick.
But we will
say, also, if any of them see it.
Yes. Also, if you are coming to see Ragtime and your name is specifically Alex Allred
yes.
and you don't want this scene ruined, skip ahead like 2 minutes. And also, if any of you are coming to see Ragtime, first of all, let me know. I'd love to meet you and maybe skip ahead. So it's like a magic trick that involves multiple people. And I'm one of the people who has to help set it up. And it's all set to music and it's all very like, la, 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 like we're having a great time. And I just like completely spaced while I was setting up the magic trick. And it all hinges on a hidden trap door that the audience cannot know is there. The magic trick has not happened. We are just setting it up. And I put my hand directly on the trap door and accidentally put my weight on it and it swung open and I fell through it up to my shoulder.
What?
So just like on stage.
No.
Harry Houdini is coming out. He's getting handcuffed and he's like, I'm about to do this awesome trick. And then 2 feet behind him, I open the trap door that's supposed to be a secret, fall into it.
Are you kidding?
And have to just like pull myself back up, close the trap door, and pretend like nothing happened. And then we do this whole trick.
Dude.
Where it's like, how did that happen when the whole audience just saw me fall through the trap door?
Was everyone, hear me out, much love to you, was everyone so mad at you?
No, actually.
Oh, good.
I walked off stage and me and one of the other ensemble members, Cordell, we started laughing about it so hard. I literally fell over. The worst part is, though, it's all set to music, yeah, and it happens. It's like during a song, and yeah, it happens about halfway through the song, and I'm on stage for the rest of the song. So I had to just like put on
it. Sit in that.
Yeah. Just like smile and pretend like nothing was wrong. And I couldn't A, start laughing, or yeah, B, start crying. I just had to be like, nothing happened. We're going to finish this song. I walked off stage, immediately broke, fell to the ground. But I have to say, the guy who played Harry Houdini was super cool about it.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
But yeah, it was pretty dope.
Honestly, so, I love that. Keeping it fresh.
But yeah, that was a moment where literally I was going through the rest of the song, like the next 2.5 minutes of me just like dancing and singing. And in my head, I was like, man, this is going to be a great story to tell.
You're like, the rating is going to be so high for this episode. Oh,
my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Well,
Emily, there it is. Thanks heaps. Up next, we have a voicemail from Joel.
Okay. Ignore my last message. This is Joel. He, they. I've just had a thought because I've watched that like dance break of Mike and Brittany about 20 times since you pointed out, and I've never noticed it before. I do think the direction was the thing in Mike's hand was the beat in the abstract, and he was like, "Ooh, the beat! I can't stop it! Ooh, Brittany!" And then he threw the beat at Brittany, and she's like, "Ooh, the beat! It's in my arms." With that being said, I don't know why she was exfoliating her arms. Maybe she was like, "Ooh, the beat's coming! I haven't washed my hair." That's all.
Joel, that message is the funniest shit I've ever heard in my life. The thing in Mike's hand was the beat in the abstract.
And then Brittany. Get ready, the beat's coming. We can't stop
Brittany
the beat.
Exfoliating herself because she knows the beat's coming. Oh my gosh.
That is so stupid funny.
Oh my gosh.
The beat in the abstract.
You can't stop it. It's hot potato. You just gotta send it to someone else. You're like, we have to live with this thing, so it's your turn. Now the beat is in your ass. God. Good luck, Brittany. Oh gosh.
We're both crying. Holy crap. Joel, woof. Thanks for that. Incredible. Made my life.
Incredible.
All right. I think this is the last one. All yes. Right, last but certainly not least, we have an email from Madison.
Okay. Hi, this is Madison, she, her, from Michigan. I have so many thoughts about this episode, but I want to focus on one particular thing, the Rachel and Kurt storyline. I'm not involved in theater and have never been, so I never really thought of their realization that people may be better than them outside their school as a theater thing. What I took away from it and what left me thinking and reflecting back on my life after watching was the experience of joining the real world after going to a small high school. I just finished my first year of college at one of the best schools in my state and had the same haunting realization that Kurt and Rachel have when I realized just how much better off these other students were. I'm majoring in journalism and thought that my teachers telling me I was a good writer all my life was good enough. Then, last fall, I had to introduce myself to my first journalism class and found out that my peers had been reporting since high school, had a school newspaper or collaboration with their town's newspaper, or had even been published already. I had the sudden realization that even though I was literally a college freshman, I was behind the curve. I should have been thinking about this years ago had I been wasting my time. My high school had no newspaper, and the broadcasting class that did the announcements was a blow-off class that I didn't consider or want to take. Mm-hmm. At McKinley, it's not their fault that they dream to be performers, but all their school has for performing arts is a string of canceled plays and a small show choir. They're a small high school in Ohio and just flat out will fall behind schools with more money, resources, and options for their students. My sister helped me with my panic by telling me she experienced the same thing starting engineering college, feeling behind the other students from larger, wealthier schools with full-blown STEM and pre-engineering programs. But she's graduated and she's employed, so who cares? I think it's kind of an idealized message that these kids can pursue their dreams just by believing in them hard enough, but that belief has to work when you're years behind and didn't even know it and begin to doubt every decision you've made in your life. To put an end point to my rambling, if they were even trying to imply that, I don't think these writers have the ability to imply anything. I think it was a wonderful thing to bring into these kids' senior year. Growing up and realizing that talent in your little town and talent in the real world are completely different things is a difficult lesson that I, and I think all of us, are still trying to learn. So that's what I took away from the storyline. I hope it made sense and wasn't just aimless rambling. I love this podcast. It truly makes me smile every week. Forehead kisses, if you accept, Madison.
Madison, I do accept. I love, love, love this thought. I think I love hearing that, like, this, like, theater kid, like, weirdness imposter-y feeling. Syndrome thing. Yes, that other people have felt that in, like, their own fields as well. And I totally understand what it's like to, like, come from a small town and, like, show up somewhere and just feel so out of your depth, mm-hmm. you know? And it's, Madison, I hope journalism school is going well for you. If anyone has felt this, I hope that if you're listening to this and you felt this way, you hear Madison and you're like, oh my gosh. And you heard us ramble about it the other day, but like hearing it from someone else, like you're totally not alone in that. Everyone ever feels that way. And I totally love, you got to believe in yourself. Yeah. You know?
Well, and like Madison says, and like the show says, where it's like, they might have like done all these other things and had all these experiences, but like they're not you, and that's, they can't bring what you bring to the table. And that is like such a corny idea.
Yeah.
But also, like Madison says, you have to believe that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just because it's corny also doesn't mean it's not true.
Uh-huh. Like, all my favorite things are corny and also true.
Yeah. Like cornbread, corn on the cob.
Sorry. A salad with some like corn in it. Have you ever
a corn cob salad?
I'm serious.
Popcorn, kettle uh-huh. corn.
Street corn. A streetcar named Desire.
A street corn named Desire. Back to Madison. Okay. But like, no one has the exact same perspective as you and sees the world the same as you. And like, yes, experience is important. And like having these experiences that other people had that we did not have is great for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, just like you bring what you do to the table and you totally. Have to believe in that. And that also is true that like, yeah. you bring something that no one else can bring.
And you have your whole life for experience.
Yeah.
You know? You're doing yeah. it right now.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Madison, thanks heaps. Well, that's your minisode, y'all.
Heyo.
Are you ready to play that game we always play?
I...
Where we embarrass ourselves.
Was Bjorn ready?
Bjorn. My phone is all the way over there, so...
Oh, I'll go get it.
Thank you. All right, on the docket, we got The Beat by the Go-Go's.
I prefer the Bangles.
Well, as do we all. Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, the Barbara Streisand and Harold Arlen version. It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones. Anything Goes / Anything You Can Do. You Can't Stop the Beat.
What? It's been 2 weeks, so...
Oh, shoot.
I don't know who went first. Oh, so well, then we're just going to start
should
over.
Should we do Rock, Paper, Scissors? Who start over? Who came into this world first? We came here at the same time.
I don't know. We came arm in arm in, the three of us, at the same time. So I don't know.
Do you think Armin Shimmerman knows how impactful he was to us?
Do you think he remembers either of us?
Do you think any of these listeners give a shit?
Honestly, I think a large portion of our listeners are huge Armin Shimmerman fans. They're like, I'm just here for the Cork content. That's why I'm listening.
The Cork. That's the thing is, I've brought Armin Shimmerman up to other people before, and they always know him from Star Trek. And I grew up in a Star Wars family, so I don't know jack shit about Star Trek. And I'm like, no, that's Principal Snyder from Buffy. Like, and they're like, oh, I never watched that. And I'm like, of course you didn't, because you're a misogynist. All right, let's rock, paper, scissors it to see who goes first. Whoever loses goes first.
Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, I go first. Okay. Yes.
Okay. I want you to sing We Got the Beat.
What are the lyrics to this song?
Oh, I was about to sing it for you. Don't want to give you any hints. Because I'm certainly right, because I always am.
See the people walking down the street, fall in line just watching all the all their feet. They don't know. I don't know I don't know the rhythm to the sign. They don't know where they want to go, but they're walking in time. That's what it is. They got the beat. They got the beat. They got the beat. Yeah, they got the beat. Let's find out.
I prefer the Bengals.
Okay, I think see the people walking down the street is a little A G E action. Oh.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Oh my god, you guys. Oops, this is the Radio Rebel version. Oops. I don't know how this happened.
I know we said this as a joke. This is our last minisode for real. You are not forgiven. You are not forgiven for that.
I just love Debbie Ryan. What can I say?
No!
Are you right?
I'm a half step flat.
Oh, okay. That's good. You're usually sharp.
I mean, I'm still off, so...
Well, dip.
I'm still a huge loser. Okay. I want... Yeah. To sing It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones.
Okay. It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. But now I'm seeing around with anyone. It's not unusual to see me cry.
So you think It's Not Unusual is F sharp to B, to C sharp, to D sharp, to F, nope, to E, to F sharp. Oh, this is such a good song.
I know. No.
You are a half step flat.
Both
same
of
with
us?
Me.
That's uncanny valley. I hate that.
That's uncanny. Well,
does one of us have to kill the other?
Yes, we have to call my roommates into here and be like, which one's the real Lena? Which one's the real Ian? You have to shoot the other one.
Wait, that implies that one of us is either a fake Lena or a fake Ian.
First, they have to shoot the fake Lena, and then they have to shoot the fake Ian. You said we had to die the same way.
I do. We do. And probably, I hope at the same time.
Yes. Yes. I'll have Andre will shoot the fake Lena, and Trey will shoot the fake Ian.
Perfect.
Great. Perfect. I'll call them in.
Okay, cool. Well, guys, I hope you have an awesome rest of your week. Heck, it's hot out there. Stay hydrated.
It's hot
wear
up
some
here.
Sunscreen.
A lot up here.
What is?
It's hot up here forever. A lot of fun. It's not up here. It's hot up here no matter what.
Okay, that didn't.
There's
help
not
me.
A breath of air up here, and they're up here forever.
What is this?
It's not my fault. I got up here. I'll rot up here. I am so hot up here. It's Sunday in the Park with George.
Oh.
My favorite song of the whole show.
Really?
No, but probably my third favorite.
What is it? Color and Light?
It's hot up here. Oh, what's my favorite?
Yeah.
My favorite is... We do not belong together, and we should have belonged. And then my second favorite is... Anything you do, let it come from you.
Would you like to be in that show with me?
It will be new. Absolutely.
We would be so good.
We would.
Yeah.
I'm Dot, you're George.
Dang it.
Of course.
Oh, it's fine. I can grow a beard. I cannot. All right. Again, hope you have a good rest of your week. Here is a mini kiss on your mini forehead.
Bye.
See you later.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok @RecoveringGleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.